welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife based podcast, Fife Club, where a few friends chat about anything and everything that's taken their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club. Go on, go on, go on.
That was all right. It was.
Was it go on? A prelude to our Irish chat later.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Foreshadowing.
Getting us all ready for it.
Shadowy, yeah. Foreshadowing.
That was not a bad intro. It's not as good as the one that I had in the last episode where I managed to get like a whole room of people shout it. But, you know.
Did you?
Yeah.
I still haven't listened to it yet, listeners. even though I always say I don't listen because it's got my stupid voice on it.
This one doesn't.
I was going to, but. I told you why. I was going to walk down and then I thought, oh, you'll be driving. Can I get a lift? So I didn't listen to it.
What I will ask though, did they, although you can say you got a full room to do it, but did they share my unbearable positive outlook on life, as they said?
Yes.
Oh. Fuck you then, guys.
I forgot that we slagged you to the shit in the other podcast. Oh, good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good fun. Good fun.
Too happy, am I?
So yeah, just talk about it. And I hope everyone enjoyed last week's drunk rambling episode from Best of the West. It was very painful to edit and involved a lot of cringing on my behalf. But it certainly seems that you lot have been talking about it, as we've had a wee boost to the numbers this week. So thank you very much.
12 listeners.
Yep. Got another 2.
Now my mum's listening to it too, guys. We're about to the party.
But yeah, if you like listening to drunk folk talk to some of the biggest names in Scots trad, then have a listen if you've not already. It's something. Anyway, I suppose we should get on with the old intros. So, on the mics on this crisp autumnal night is, like Shetland in a box, nobody puts baby in a corner, it's Jamie.
Hello. My jumper is almost Shetland-like.
And across from him, but he's not actually here because he pulled out last minute, but I'm going to introduce him anyway because I wrote this. What's in the box? What's in the box?
Nobody!
Oh, what's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
Oh, I see.
Well, it's not Shetland anyway. Certainly not. Only Gwyneth Paltrow's heed.
I was gonna.
It's Mark.
Is it Pemmin severed head?
I feel bad for chiming on your joke now. What's the word? Like nobody. Pemmin's not here. Oh, you're going somewhere with this.
Because he's not here. He's still getting an intro. But yeah, so that was my intro for you, Mark. If you're listening.
Yeah.
Pity you're not here. And next to him is my feelings on the whole Shetland thing. You're chicken. You've got no guts. You're afraid to stick out your chin and say, "Okay." Life's a fact. People do fall in love. People do belong to each other. Because that's the only chance anybody's got for real happiness. You call yourself a free spirit, a wild thing, and you're terrified somebody's going to stick you in a cage. Well, baby, you're already in that cage. You built it yourself. It's James.
Hello.
Wow.
That is probably my favourite intro of myself ever.
Is that from, what you call it?
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought it was something from like Chasing Amy or something. It's a kind of fake, you know.
Yeah, it's wordy.
Yeah.
No, I was looking for sort of film quotes that were roughly about being trapped in a box. And yeah, they all worked. So yeah.
Oh, that's fair.
I thought that worked. And it kind of really takes us on to our first topic of the day.
Oh.
Shetland is out of its box. Quite literally, its box.
Yeah. So Shetland, for ease of maps not looking shit, is usually drawn in a box on maps of Scotland and the UK because it's so fucking far away. It's ridiculous.
Very true.
Wasn't Shetland only like, or was that the Orkney Islands? They're both the same. People from those islands love that sort of banter.
We just lost the Northern Isles.
One of them was gifted by, I think it was Orkney now I'm saying it, was gifted by Queen Anne, was it not? Or as a wedding gift.
As
it's
a
like
gift,
a dowry sort of thing. Uh-huh. But fuck, I think it's Orkney. Mm. Anyway. Shetland is now the Lib Dem MSP there got an amendment to a bill so that in public body maps you can no longer put it in a box and you have to show it as it is geographically, which is stupid
because now maps are going to be
bigger,
huge, or tiny scale. Either or,
there's so much North Sea that we don't need to see.
Yeah, or do we just bring it closer now?
just reel them in. That's how islands work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just next time the ferry's leaving, just stick a big anchor onto the mainland.
Yeah.
And let it pull the islands down.
Fuck's sake. Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure the people of Shetland maybe have stronger feelings than we do, but
no one cares about them.
Oh, dear.
But how are they going to get rid of the actual seawall around Shetland?
Shetland, yeah.
The giant box seawall that they had to build. Because otherwise, the maps wouldn't have been accurate in the first place.
Oh, dear. It's just, it is, it's stupid. I mean, part of me, I was reading a couple of like bits and pieces about it.
They built it to protect them from Vikings.
Or to keep them from like escaping and causing havoc.
Orkney built it around them.
Craig made it out.
I really hope Craig's listened to this episode.
You can maybe tell us the story of how he escaped.
He won't be talking to me.
How'd you get out of the box, Craig?
Yeah. How did you Schindler's List your way out of that one?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just end up with Craig hanging himself. Oh, fuck. James, why did you say that?
I don't know. I picked the wrong film.
Wait a minute. I just clearly got completely mixed up with films.
All right.
Oh, wait, I was thinking the wrong film. You got Shawshank. Yeah,
I was thinking of Shawshank.
I mean, Shawshank would have worked too. I could have went with Shawshank, but...
You didn't.
I went with Schindler's List instead.
I've been reading things all week. I don't know what the
I'm
fuck's
thinking
wrong
like
with
Escape
me.
From Jesus. New York more, like Craig's a Snape Plissken kind of character.
Oh. Cutting his way through the whole thing.
Who plays the borderline racist Chinese bad guy? Mags,
yeah. Oh, you could do that fits with. You could big trouble in Little China. That'd probably be a bit more fun and entertaining way of going around to Shetland.
Yeah,
Big Trouble in Little Shetland.
And then you can have then you can have Rumble in Shetland, which will be more like Jackie Chan based. Basically, Craig fighting with ladders. Yeah,
ladders, no trees, bees, or cranes.
And jumping off bridges and breaking his leg. There's no bridges in Shetland, let's be real here.
That'd be one hell of a big bridge from here to the mainland.
Boris Johnson will probably want to build it, like he's Northern Irish bridge. They only do bridges like that in fucking China, because they're cool.
But do you know why he wants a bridge to Northern Ireland? So that way he can actually like then pull Northern Ireland away from the rest of it, and then there's no longer a border issue. See? That's how he's going to solve that.
Boris is smarter than I thought he was.
Yeah, he would just pull Northern Ireland away from the rest of the Irish mainland, and then be a nice wee bridge across, and it'll be part of the UK.
How's he going to pull Ireland? How's he going to pull Northern Ireland closer to the British Isles when he can't even pull his own wife?
Oh mate!
Fuck.
Holy shit, James!
Wow! It's not even satire. No,
it's fucking hard truths.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Didn't know we've gone there. Yeah.
Just like this Kiki person who definitely exists. You'll hear about the end, listeners. This bullshit.
That made my night.
I was saying, though, that like with the whole Shetland thing, like reading some of the things, I can see part of their point in that, you know, it does feel like a bit of a, you know, Shetland always being a kind of a joke almost in maps. It's always put in this wee box. But there is that element of, well, sorry, but you are a bit part of the British Isles still, so...
I mean, if you're going to feel for anybody, like we could have picked a better time to do this. Like, this is the week where This Morning decided, yep, we're going to do the weather on the Thames again with the physical map of Great Britain. How big a fucking jump they got to make to get to Shetland to tell that weather? Going to need a boat.
I would fucking love that. I miss that. I miss the fucking... And the hoping you fall off every time. Yeah. And sometimes they do. Yeah. And it's the best thing ever.
And it turns out that he probably should have fallen off all the time because he was a bad man.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that.
He was a bad man.
Oh, shit. That's probably what... Yeah. It's not coming back.
The thing is, when they're bringing back this map, like part of me was like, you know when you think, come on, fall. I'd hope it'd be the other way around if they made it to Shetland, because it's like, go on, make the jump this time. Today's the day you're going to make it from the... you're going to make it from Orkney to Shetland in one leap. You can do it, lad. On you go. And if he does do it, it'd be the best day ever. But, you know.
I think if Shetland doesn't want the box, we should start a campaign to put Fife in a box.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Annex the kingdom.
Yeah. We're the kingdom.
Let's go in a box. I think we should totally start that
fucking
campaign.
Fucking right. Yeah. I'm sure most of the rest of Scotland wouldn't mind either.
No.
Don't give a fuck about Fife.
Bye.
That's fine.
Get your Lino Suki fingers out here.
take your bridies with you. All right.
Speaking of,
look at that segue. Our beautiful, beautiful, wonderful baker, Stevens, got Baker of the Year. Yeah. Scottish Baker of the Year.
Scottish Baker of the Year.
Which is like World Baker of the Year.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real.
Was that the Scottish Bakers Awards from like the Scottish Bakers Association?
I think so.
Which is kind of primarily set up by Stevens.
I love it. That's how people win awards. Let's be real here. You know.
Nah, in fairness, I think they were one of the original founders of it. But
to be fair, there's no other data to substantiate this. But last year or earlier this year, we did give Stevens the Fife Club seal of approval. So, you know.
Do you know what? We've still got those vouchers to spend as well. We really need to get together one morning
to get that award-winning Stevens.
Do a breakfast brunch podcast with some delicious
Tiffany's.
Yeah. Is there? No, I was going to say, is there a Tiffany's in town? No, there's not.
There was, wasn't there?
Yeah. Well, no, there was the Tiffany Lounge.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. Oh, is that the thing next to Carnegie?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. In the annex. Was it in the annex?
Yeah, it was just the extension.
It was
in between of the main theatre
and the annex. Great chat, folks.
Wow, solid content.
But yeah, so they won the award. So it's really nice to hear. And of course, our favourite bakers. Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm not lying with that. I mean, I know obviously you were brought up on Baines for a long time, but
brought up on filth.
As I've said before, I don't mind Baines. Baines is all right.
They do very good rolls.
I was born in pastry. That's not even the right voice.
Spain, I was born in pastry. It needs to be moustache twiddling bad guy.
Oh, dear.
I didn't see vegetables until I was a man. Until then, there's nothing to me but blinding.
I was molded by the shaped with the brother.
But like I say, Baines is fine. Stevens is another like level. God. Down the road, the shop down the road is now stocking fucking Stuart's stuff. Stuart's, come on.
Sacrilege, sir.
That's a fucking East Fife thing. Yeah. Nobody wants that down here. Just
get that back to your nuke.
I went to Hoyk and had like the Scottish, the best Scottish bridey of the year this year.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a patch on a Stephen State bridey. There's things that you miss in a state bridey. There's one thing that every bridey I've had outside of Stevens they don't have, just that little bit of saltiness. That comes up with that bridey and the pastry and the meat. Oh,
they do good brideys up in like Dundee and Forfar way. But they're almost.
But for Forfar Bridey's a different thing.
Yeah, it's
entirely.
It's different. Yeah.
It's absolutely different. It's not a good steak, Bridey. Oh. Fuck off with your steak slice, Greggs.
Oh, that's fired.
I don't care if they never want to sponsor us. Although if you do, Greggs, we'll say nice things if you give us money.
You do better cheese and bacon wraps, and that's it. It's the only thing you do better than Stevens.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm
a bit of a fan of their cheese and bacon wraps, but Stevens
sausage, bean and cheese melt as well.
Get out. Get out now.
Wow. He gets on me for my tea drinking methods now, and it's the slices.
No milk in your tea. Yeah. The pair of you make me sick.
To be fair, in my defense.
You call me a hipster for it, but that's how my great grand drank her tea. That's what I think of it as.
Hipster, I just think you're scum.
in my defense, and a bit of a brush of the shoulder moment, it's decisions like that that have made me lose 2 stone since July. So I'm taking that. I'm taking that as a win.
I still have milk and I lost a stone. So get up, you.
Well. No, that was it.
I'm not even going to get into it. It just makes me really angry.
It's just tea, but with no milk. What's the problem?
No. It's not how the Queen would drink it. So, yeah. There's something else that's kind of been kind of bugging me a little bit, and I kind of thought I would put it out to you guys, and it's this whole thing where we've got a few studios who seem to be really, movie studios that is, seem to be really desperate to put out superhero movies. And they're using whatever properties they have, but not taking the time to even try building something and just going straight into, we're going to make 15 of these films. Mm. And then it all fall into shit, basically. Example being Venom. Now, I've not seen it yet.
But the reviews speak for themselves.
Yeah, the reviews are all over the place.
I've not seen a single positive take on
it.
The only thing I've seen is Tom Hardy is the best part of the whole
thing. Yeah, but people said he can't save it. That's what so many people said.
Well,
yeah.
The very first thing, before the first sort of review started coming out, the first thing that kind of got me a bit concerned was when he had said in an interview that his favourite 40 minutes have been taken out of the film. Mm. It's like, oh. Yeah.
Probably chasing that 15 rating mm-hmm. so that kids can go
it's
see
PG-13.
It.
PG-13.
Well, yeah.
It's PG-13?
Yeah, PG-13.
Oh, that's the wrong move.
Yeah.
That was a poor move.
So
I thought like Venom was going to be set up in a similar vein to Deadpool.
Mm.
That's the initial impression.
Deadpool slash Logan was what they were kind of selling it as.
Yeah.
Without the comedy.
Without the comedy. And apparently it's really funny, but people don't think you're meant to be laughing at it.
Sort of like this?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, right, okay.
Get your t-shirts at fiveclub.co.uk.
But it's another one of these classic examples, especially Sony. Sony have shot the boat on this a couple of times now. Like, they did the first three films, and
let's not speak about the third film.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They did one and two, and had Raimi do them, Sam Raimi do them, and they were okay.
They were okay. Have you watched them recently?
They don't.
They're fucking awful.
Yeah, they don't. Well, the second one still got good bits in it.
You're talking about the Spider-Man films.
Yeah, the
well,
Sam Raimi
not original
ones.
The yeah.
The then they went to the yeah. third film, and Raimi had a whole like plan for that film. But Sony turned around and went, Venom. Yeah. And he was like, I don't want to do Venom because I don't find him interesting.
Yeah.
And then what they did was forced him to do it, and he did a really bad interpretation of that character. The film was really poor. It was almost like he didn't give a shit and just... Aye.
Well, when you've got an emo-looking Tobey Maguire dancing...
Yeah,
there's a problem.
Yeah. I thought they did some cool things with Sandman in that film, actually.
Yeah,
but it wasn't a good film.
No, but see if they just made Sandman.
Yeah,
and maybe have the Green Goblin thing kicking around in the background. That could have worked.
Speaking of, did you see the tweet where it was like Elon Musk because he's losing his chairmanship?
Yeah,
for Tesla.
Yeah.
For the share stuff. And then the next tweet's like him next week and it's the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
It's like, it's absolutely correct. He's still my company. Yeah. He's still gonna remain CEO, but it doesn't matter, it's a good joke.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. I did enjoy that as well. But yeah, so they did that with Spider-Man 3 and it tanked, and then what, 5 years later we got a whole new Spider-Man. Like, they rebooted the whole thing.
That was actually good.
The first one was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was actually... It
second
was
one
like,
was a bit weird.
It was kind of like, oh, you've maybe actually found, you know...
Starting to get that
found
right little
and,
rhythm.
Yeah, you found what it's about. And
it was
doing
a good introduction to Peter Parker as well.
Some sort of weird things, but they kind of went down some routes from the comic books and stuff, but I liked it. Second film was a bit of a mess. Yeah. And they tried, again, to do too many things... And tried to set up a universe, and it just failed, you know, and that fell down. So then, obviously, they did the right thing with Spider-Man, and I think Marvel stepped in and they did this sort of like, yeah, this deal to bring Spider-Man back across to Marvel and bring them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Great. Had a great film. Has been in, what, three films now, basically, that character and those things. And they were so desperate to still ride the shockwave of these films, that they rushed into development Venom. They kind of had the film going, scripts going for a wee while, but it was just kind of like suddenly it wasn't a thing and suddenly was.
Yeah.
And then talking about building a Spider-Man universe
without
Spider-Man.
Yeah, there's not enough there. Because who have you got? Venom, Carnage, and then after that...
It's like Black Cat and
Venom
Sable.
And Carnage, really.
Yeah.
Like, in cinema world are quite similar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, you can't really do much with that.
No.
And then they're bringing out the Spider-Verse film next
See,
month.
That I don't mind because
that looks really good.
It's animated, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's animated.
Yeah.
They're doing something different. It's like completely different with that. Mm. And it looks as though that, you know, as just a standalone, or even if they were doing a wee animated, like...
I got the impression of sort of like, you know how they do the DC animated films?
Yeah.
It was a bit like that. And I quite liked that idea.
Also, it being the Spider-Verse is a series of comics from about 2 years ago, which brought in Spider-Man. Now, in Marvel, there are many Spider-Men across the many different universes, different publications.
And
Madam
Web and all that. And
yep. And it's, yeah, that the idea is that every... In the multiverse, every universe has a spider totem.
Yeah.
So there's somebody that is a has a spider power, basically. And the comic book was mental. It was like, at one point, it's basically there's people hunting the Spider-Man throughout the universes.
Yeah, and then they team up.
They all
so
team
got
up.
One who's like Titanium. And
you've yeah, got, you've got like a manga one. You've
yeah.
got,
Pig.
You've got
yeah,
Spider
you've
Pig. Got, Spider Pig. you've got...
Does whatever a Spider Pig can.
Yeah. you've got a version of Gwen Stacy as Spider-Girl. Spider-Gwen.
Would they bring Obama into future Spider-Man films like he was in the comics?
I don't know. But yeah, so that works, because what they could do, and it's not been, there's nothing being shown yet, but there's every possibility they could bring in like Andrew Garfield, Tom Holland, and but they could do
they
that
could.
And then have them all link, essentially.
Oh, it'd be bad though.
It yeah, could be good. It nah. could be silly. If like I think silly
you,
good.
I think you need to keep those two as far away from each other as possible.
I quite like that.
Just
idea.
Have Tom Holland on his own. He's absolutely
but
fine.
Anyway, back to the point.
Films in general.
Films in general. The other one that's kind of seems like a misstep, like I say, Venom's there, and they've gone, apparently there's an end sequence where they're setting up a sequel, and it's sort of like, now nobody's sure if they'll, if Sony will move on with it, and it's that sort of thing of, Sony, just leave it alone. Mm. Instead of trying to capitalise and jump in on this band of superhero films, realise you can't do them.
Yeah, just...
And...
Either Marvel will give you a shit. Disney will give you a shitload
shit
of money.
Yeah,
to just sell it back to them. Yeah.
Or even do what you've done with Spider-Man, where it's a cool, you know, like a cool producing thing where you get money off so much of it. And
and then they're bringing out a new X-Men film as well.
Mm. Oh, that's meant to be
Dark Phoenix.
Bad.
And it's been put back again. So, I mean,
they released a trailer and then it got announced it's been put back again. Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck?
So, again, here's another misstep where it's like, Fox there were just like, okay, so we've done a third film, we better do a fourth film. It's, you know, just like pushing it. It doesn't seem like there's been any real plan to it, other than we'll just do this next film. And it's, again, this idea of peddling out another X-Men film every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Because people will go and see them.
Save that for the next phase of Marvel, you know.
There's a lot of chat now that with Disney having bought Fox, we might not see Dark Phoenix.
Well, that's what, because
apparently
Feige's going to be in control of X-Men. Like, they've said that. They said, we're going to have people from both studios, which is like, they'll do that for like a year.
Yeah.
And then
that's it. Yeah. The other one's New Mutants as well, which is...
That actually looks all right.
But I doubt we'll ever see that.
I hope we get a DVD release or something.
Well, one of the things that I've heard sort of rumours of is that the Disney streaming service that's going to be coming along next year, I think.
They'd be nice little bonuses to slip in there.
So no cinema release, but just like...
Oh, that's a really good move, actually. Because they're doing
Netflix
a lot of good stuff,
isn't it? That's what Netflix do now.
Yeah,
their own
that
films.
Is. And then that just wraps that up.
Disney are very serious about the streaming service, the stuff they've got planned for it. Very serious.
Well, you think about the licenses they own now as well.
Yeah.
It's so easy for them to do it as well.
ESPN Plus has like one million subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been going a few months,
which isn't bad for a streaming service.
For a streaming service, but it isn't even the full ESPN.
Yeah,
it's an extra thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's kind of like UFC Fight Pass.
Yeah,
in that you don't get all the UFC content; you just get extra stuff.
Extra bits. Yeah,
and that's before the UFC rights have gone onto it or anything else. It's going to be impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty mad.
I mention that because ESPN are owned by Disney.
Yeah, as well. The one other film that is again feels like a bit of, and this is Warner Brothers through and through, is the Joker film that's filmed with Joaquin Phoenix. I've got mixed feelings on this, because part of me thinks
Joaquin,
he's a good actor, he could actually do a good job of this, but this is a Joker film that has no Batman in it.
It's an origin story
which is always it's a difficult thing to do with the Joker.
The last series of Gotham just fucking blew fucking the Joker / Jerome out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really good origin story.
Yeah. I've not seen
I doubt
yet,
it'll be better than that. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, that is the thing. But it's also, here's an iconic character who's already been played by, four now, but three very iconic performances in Cesar Romero.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson. And then
Heath Ledger. Jared Leto just does not get that
conversation. I think it'd be interesting if it was shot.
There's so many different actors that have played that.
That's the thing. Well, see, if it was a Jared Leto Joker film, I'd maybe get behind it because I would like to have seen him do it would have been his something else with that character.
That would have been his chance to redeem it a little bit as well. I think he could have got that because it wasn't the best film, Suicide Squad in general. So.
I think I'll only have any interest in it if it's shot like. If it's shot not like a superhero movie.
Yeah.
If they shoot it like, say, like another Joaquin Phoenix, Phoenix movie, like Walk the Line, or Her, or
something like that,
or something I've got in my head is more like a Coen Brothers sort of style or something. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like a serious style. And because there's no fantastical thing about the Joker.
Joker, no.
There doesn't have to be. You can do, but there doesn't have to be. And you can make it like a character study sort of serious film. Shoot it like a film. Or something like I've said enough.
No, I just think it's one too many. It's diluting diluting what is again iconic character and iconic role. And I don't feel there's any need for that film.
Yeah. Oh, Aquaman looks shit as well.
Yeah. My problem with DC now is that I've been burned too many times.
Yeah.
They've had, one decent, alright film out of the lot of them?
For Wonder Woman writer's going to write something or direct something good, what is it?
I thought it was the director was moving to Marvel or something.
Yes, to do something.
I can't remember what
it is. No, but it was... Oh, was it maybe a Scarlet Witch TV shoot series?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, because that's what else the Disney streaming service is going to...
Oh, no, it wasn't. No. It's in talks for a female-led multiple hero film.
Film.
Essentially,
the female Avengers film.
Yeah.
They've been kind of banding about an idea of that for a wee
while.
That's
what it was.
That would be pretty tits.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, James.
I had to. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Dear but Christ.
The issue I've got with this whole thing is like superhero films are such an oversaturated market now. There's so many. And even now, Marvel have this habit of setting out a 5-year plan already.
Ten.
Yeah. They'll list all the films they're planning on putting out over the next how many years, and you know exactly what films are coming out.
But I think that's
a gamble in times as well.
But I think for Marvel, it's not for them anymore.
Yeah.
And I think this is the difference, is that Marvel have obviously got a formula and have figured out...
They've been shaking it up a lot recently.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the films aren't like superhero films. That's one of the criticisms of Red of Venom. You see, like, it's like a superhero film from, like, the late 90s or early 2000s. Yeah. It's like that, you know.
It's like an old Sam Raimi Spider-Man
film. Yeah,
But that's the thing. Like, I think with Marvel... They are the kings of this. There's no question. They're making money, and they're obviously the thing that the movie studios are aspiring to. They want to have these connected universes, but maybe it doesn't work outside of anything except Marvel.
Yeah.
Because they got their shit together first, and they made a plan. Their very first film didn't really have any plans of connecting to anything bar a little bit at the end, which could have been
and as this went on, they've become a little bit more strategic. Like, they plan way ahead for all of their films,
and there's so little stories
whereas Sony will look at that and go, throw Spider-Man, throw Venom, throw Logan. They just throw these films and hope that they stick on the wall and then try and expand on that rather than picking a film.
Well, that's it. Just make one good film and then see how it goes. Then make your plans. But it's like, no,
I can mess up too, because look what they did to Men in Black.
Well, yeah.
I watched the first film again not long ago. It's really good.
It is.
It still good stands film. Up.
Sugar.
What?
Oh, and he's going to be dropping tomorrow, Saturday the 6th, I think. Uh-huh. It's tomorrow, yeah. That's a new series of Daredevil starting on Netflix.
Is that tomorrow?
Yeah, but I'm going to be far too busy tomorrow to watch it.
That's my Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And that looks good.
Yeah,
it looks very good. Amazing.
Did we talk about the new series Iron Fist? I just if we didn't, I'll just say it was good.
Yeah, I think we covered a little bit of it.
It's
very good.
I was impressed.
Yeah, liked it a lot.
Better than the first season.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, it's like a different thing.
By far.
I think we did talk about catch up on that. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
But
Speaking of being busy on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I'm on
Segway.
Oh, motherfucker. I think two people in particular are going to be very busy on Saturday night.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas, Nevada, Conor McGregor. It's official now because they weighed in. Conor McGregor. That's the thing. You get excited for the fight. So people will be looking at the poster for Khabib and McGregor and be very excited for the fight. MMA fans across the world were so nervous for weigh-ins. It's just like, no, you can get excited for the fight. It doesn't happen until the weigh-in. It's just like, you can get hyped up as much as you want, but it's like, they have
but
to
if the weigh-in doesn't, yeah.
If they don't make weight or someone gets injured or something goes wrong,
and then
that
they can't
fight's
decide
off.
On a catch weight or something like that. Yeah.
It's or a purse. It's like, fight's off. Then that's devastating.
Yeah. And
did you see Khabib's name?
What?
It's Conor versus Khabib.
Yeah, I said Khabib.
Did you?
I said Khabib.
Oh, right, okay. Sorry.
Kebab.
Khabib, yeah. Everybody made weight.
Yeah, on the whole card. Yeah. Which is weird.
It was meant
days.
To be. And it's also, someone made a good point, it's actually quite weird that Tony Ferguson and Khabib made weight on the same card, because it never happens.
Yeah. For listeners, they've been to fight about four times
and it's not happened.
It's fallen through.
Yeah.
But this is going to be, people are saying it's the biggest MMA fight ever, and it probably will be.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz doesn't feel as big for it as like for everyone's, but at the same time, I think Conor McGregor's just more of a mainstream star now, so I think it should work anyway.
That he'll pull in a lot of folk. Do you think just it gets on the night type thing?
Yeah.
But do you think it gets a lot of hype for the wrong reasons?
Oh,
yeah. But that's the fight business.
Dolly incident was something else.
That's like the problem is you can never. I'm kind of like a purist, whereas I don't care so much about the drama.
Yeah.
I'm like. I just care about the technique and stuff. It's a little nice extra thing of drama. But the problem is that the only time MMA has ever been successful, actually combat sports, the only time combat sports are ever successful is when it's a fucking circus.
Yeah.
And that's that's just how it works.
Yeah.
It's the entertainment factor that pulls folk in.
Yeah. To get people to come and watch boxing matches, like in the very early days of boxing, which was more similar to MMA, you could kick people in the ground and shit.
Yeah.
They used to blow up donkeys and stuff.
Whoa.
And, yeah, honestly, like in London in like the 18th century, and be like, hey, come see this boxing match. Come see this donkey blow it up. You'll also see a boxing match. Yeah. It's like just a fun ver, tried fun ver habit for boxing. It's nuts. But that's what it's always been like.
they fight to push the plunger down and blow up the donkey.
I'm sure it was a donkey. Yeah, we used to do mad shit like that all the time. We're like, yeah, we're going to make a lion and a bear fight. It's going to be awesome. And then we're going to have some boxing. Just mad shit.
Yeah. All of it was like, we're going to make a lion and a bear fight. Yeah, we have a couple of guys fighting too.
That's what we do. That's
I don't care about the boxing anymore. I want to watch the lion and the bear.
And this time it's an eagle and a gorilla.
An eagle and a gorilla.
What a fight it's going to be, though.
So just.
Oh, no, on you go.
Oh, well, just going to say, introduce him slightly so people don't know Conor McGregor. He's an Irish MMA fighter, he's a striker. Khabib's from Dagestan, Russia.
I think we have mentioned him several
times. Have we? Well, he's a grappler.
He is an all-round...
He just pins you down and beats the shit out of you.
Yeah, he's an all-round horrifying, terrifying human being.
Yeah.
Like, don't get on his bad side.
No.
Please don't get on his bad side.
I reckon he's going to absolutely smash McGregor up.
Did you watch the press conference from Thursday? Like, yesterday? When we were doing
I've actually kept away from the press conferences. Right. Only your highlights have I been reading.
Yeah, like, honestly, Khabib shows up at this press conference last night. McGregor's late, as per McGregor being late. But he's like, I'm on time, so fuck it, let's do it. So he did the whole press conference, and every question was more about McGregor than him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the whole crowd are Irish fans, giving it to him tight the whole time as well. He wasn't having a good time, and he's cutting weight, and McGregor's late.
Yeah.
Just like, he was raging, without a doubt, and then he left after 10 minutes. It's like, nope, I made it on time, and I've got some weight cut to you. Bye. And just left. And just left Dana White on his own for 25 minutes just fielding random questions from the shittest journalist you could possibly have at a press conference like that. It's like, so what about the whiskey, eh? So how about that money, eh? It's like, what about the fight? You're going to talk about who's going to win the fight? What about the dolly, eh? Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's right. I mean, just like Conor McGregor's ridden this wave of smashing a dolly through a bus window, we will ride the wave of UFC 229, the social media wave. Don't think we're above it, Five Clubbers. Yeah, we're not.
We are well and truly on that. You know what got me? This is the one question that just made me go, fuck the journalist last night. Hi, I'm from TMZ. Hey, Conor, how long is it going to be before you're a billionaire? Are you what?
Yeah.
The biggest fight of his career, potentially, and you're asking him when he's going to be a billionaire.
I don't think so. Although his whiskey is flying off the shelves.
Apparently
it's just like a rebranded Bushmills.
Yeah, but I've read something to that effect. Bushmills is all right.
It's all right.
It's
but
not.
It's
not good.
It's not gonna blow yourself off.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, but obviously, if he's got that brand power, then
well, yeah, that's it,
it'll
yeah.
work for other things
as
well. Are
they over this way yet?
I think they are. There's. Yeah. It was definitely on sale in Ireland.
Mm. I wouldn't mind doing like a wee.
It'll do well in the States.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind doing like a wee trial of it. Like
I wouldn't mind tasting it, but it's probably. From I want to see a proper whiskey reviewer who I like, who I know,
Ralphie
or someone like that. But as for the actual flight itself, mm-hmm. like you were saying, now I'm a massive I'm a big Conor fan, but I'm also a massive Habib fan. And the thing is, I think it's more likely to end up with Habib smashing him on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But Conor, but he has to get Conor to the ground first, and Conor's footwork is. Like the best takedown defense is footwork, and his footwork is streaks ahead.
Yeah,
but then again, all Habib needs is to grab one foot,
and that's that.
But if you watch Conor's open workout the other day, he was switching his stance a lot, meaning when he goes in, he can switch his stance, hit him with an up. He's doing uppercuts and knees all the time. Hit him with an uppercut as he's coming in.
Uh-huh.
And it's like oh, and every time I really like Conor McGregor, but every time he's fought, I've gone oh, this guy's going to be too much for him. I mean, I was right with Nate Diaz, but like Jose Aldo's going to be too much of him.
Yeah.
You know, Chad Mendes, all these people. Uh-huh. And then almost every time he's proven me wrong. So
he's cracked the code every time.
I know.
Apart from Nate Diaz when he toiled. But then you would argue that Nate Diaz fights 170 pounds, not his natural weight.
Yeah.
He was never going to be able to move like he did at 145. So there's that. So he had to like change up his strategy and go, well, I'm just going to have to punch him harder. This time.
Well, he kind of did the opposite.
Yeah,
he kind of like punched him. He did more body shots.
Yeah, and just like every time he went down, he was like, "Nope," just stepped away. He was like, "No, I'm not going near you." It'll be a fun fight. So
it'll be interesting as well because this is the first time Conor's been in the ring
since
the Mayweather fight.
That's what I was going to mention as well. Yeah. Is not just about his ring rust and all that mm-hmm. because he's been away for 2 years from MMA. Although apparently he's been training, like he was training boxing up at Tomeo Fight and straight after that.
Straight into MMA.
Yeah, he's been training gi a lot as well, strangely. Yeah. But I was going to say about pay.
Mm-hmm.
So Reebok are official sponsor of UFC and all the money goes directly to fighters just now.
Yeah.
And they paid out around $5 million this year so far to all fighters on all their cards.
All right, okay.
Conor's making $5 million from this one fight from Reebok.
Wow.
Because the other day he was like, the other day a journalist asked him at that press conference, he was like, have you, Ian talks to Reebok, how's that going? And he's like, oh, I think we're close. And then today it came out that he's getting like around $5 million.
Jesus.
Around that number is the reported number. It might be wrong, but on that point, a friend of a podcast who didn't want to be named told me I made a mistake about ACB. It's a correction. The promotion, it isn't Kadyrov's promotion. It's another guy's name I've forgotten, but he's basically Kadyrov's mate.
All right. Okay.
So, but I was wrong about that, so I just wanted to correct it.
Think about that for McGregor as well. It was like $5 million from Reebok. He's getting all the sponsorship money for Proper 12, being on the canvas.
Yeah.
Who gets that deal? Like, yep, I'm going to sell whiskey. I'll put it on the canvas. Cheers, guys.
Part of his whole fight deal, wasn't it?
For the next nine fights. Jesus, wept. And then whatever he's getting paid for the...
The fight.
He said he estimates around $50 million in total.
Oh,
which is and then which is by far the most any MMA fighters ever made
by a factor of what?
I don't know. Like I think the highest before it might have been Conor at like I don't know. I honestly don't know. But they used to pay like Brock Lesnar back in the day, like not including pay per view, but just appearance. They'd pay him like $7 million or something or $8 million, something around there, and then you'd get a slice pay per view as well. But Conor's talking about like $50 million.
Jeez,
which is unheard of in MMA. It's mad.
Yeah.
He's not doing the whole nine fights thing. I don't think he'll do all those fights.
No way.
There's no way. But UFC couldn't afford to pay those fights, man, if that's what he's getting for this one.
That's what's interesting about this fight, though, is that Conor does have enough money to just not do anything for the rest of his life. And he'd still be really well off and not have to care about anything. So he's sort of said to series, like, he's come back because he wants to compete and he loves it.
He's got nothing to lose.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Nothing. And do you know what? Just last thing on this for me.
Yeah.
He doesn't really care about it. Like someone was talking about it the other day. I can't remember which journalist it was, but you get people like Mayweather, and Mayweather's whole thing is I've never lost. Yeah. Whereas Conor's already lost, and Muhammad Ali lost. I'm not compared to Muhammad Ali,
but
great fighters lose. But Conor doesn't want to be known as the perfect fighter. He wants to be known as the greatest warrior who took on any challenge. Yeah. He went and fought Floyd Mayweather.
Uh-huh.
He went up weight and fought Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
Not as far as he said, but. And he might go and fight bloody, you know, GSP or whoever else.
Or Anderson Silva.
Oh, he's not fighting Anderson Silva. That was ridiculous. Yeah, he said that. That's insane. But that's what he's going for. You know what I mean? He wants to be remembered as a warrior, not
that's
a...
That's taking on the biggest names.
And yeah, and if he loses, he loses. But, yeah.
And he takes losing quite well. So, yeah. Respect to that.
It's interesting because he has also said that he's going to give Diaz another fight because Diaz gave him one. I think that's probably the only big money fights for him. Diaz and...
GSP. Maybe Ferguson. If Ferguson comes out of this weekend on top.
Yeah, I mean, I think to be honest, any fight Connor's in from now on
will be a big
as long as he
fight.
Wins yeah. tomorrow. Even if he doesn't win, no, but especially if he wins, will be a big fight, big money fight. But people who could help him get bigger are GSP and Diaz.
Yeah,
and that's it so far, unless someone else breaks out. But yeah.
Fair enough. I'll have one quick question before we move on. Who wins?
I don't know.
It's a toughie.
I think McGregor might get his toys. I think he's going to have ring rust.
I think he's
I mean, there is the whole psychology game that he's playing, obviously, at the moment, and has been being late, and, you know, just, it's like we're saying, does an Aldo, where he just winds him up to the point where they're so angry and frustrated.
And he knows
that
exactly what he's going to do at that first moment.
Make like mistakes. But I don't know. I think he sees through it.
Right. But who do you think is going to win, James?
I think McGregor might nick it. I think he might nick it. But if, as we've been saying, if Khabib gets him on the ground, he's fucked.
Yeah,
I think it's game over if it goes on the ground. There's no coming back. You can see he's done his jiu-jitsu work and wrestling work, but it's Khabib.
I think, right, I'm a massive Khabib mark. I just want to put that out there. But I've actually changed my mind about this, and I think Conor's going to win.
You think?
I do, because I think Conor's got... Khabib's got a very set way to win, whereas I think Conor has more paths to victory, which usually equals a win.
Yeah,
because people are saying, "Oh, it's either Khabib's going to smash him or Conor's going to hit him with that left," which is true, but it's all the setups to that.
Yeah,
and I just think setups and cage cutting and footwork are all on Conor's side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he'll be doing nothing but training reactions for either hitting someone or getting out of the way when they come in for takedown,
which
and
he is good at.
Yeah, he is and really good.
Yeah, and Khabib's footwork isn't good at all, and I just, so, yeah, I'm going to edge it, Connor, but the truth is, Fife fans, that picks are stupid. And I actually hate them in all of combat sports. Picks are so stupid and they piss me off. But yeah, so that's my thing.
But we all do it anyway.
I know, we all do it. Yeah.
You know what? You're all going to chew me out for saying this, but you know who the true winner is? The fans.
Oh,
oh boy, the fans are in for a good one. Unless it ends in like 10 seconds. Or like for Unlike, quick.
But then hopefully it... Again, I've seen fights where the undercard or, you know, the co-main or whatever has been the better fight. Yeah. So
and if anything, this will definitely go better than Bellator last weekend, where you won't get Peppa Pig for your main event. Fuck those guys.
Channel 5 made a big thing out of Bellator, which is the other
promotion,
major promotion for MMA in the States. They made a big thing about the fact that they were going to show the card live, no tape delay, because that's what it's always been, either on Five or on Spike or whatever. And yeah, they did. They showed it live until 6 a.m. because it ran over, and they cut without a word of notice to Peppa Pig.
And who has two thumbs and stayed up to watch it? This fucking idiot. You...
I woke up and saw your messages. I went straight to Twitter, and my God, it was hilarious.
I think Jack Slack put best where he says, "Fight fans were annoyed that it cut to Peppa Pig when it should have been cage fighting. Parents were annoyed that their kids were waiting to watch Peppa Pig and it was cage fighting. Normal Channel 5 viewers are upset they don't show us as many erotic thrillers as they used to."
But it's like, but nothing will ever go past the wrath of MMA fandom. Like, not even, put it this way, Peppa Pig had the unfortunate instance to be the thing that came on once Bellator got cut.
Yeah.
Like, not even cartoon child pigs are safe.
I'll drown
the
her
wrath
in a muddy
MMA
puddle. And then cook her up for bacon.
Oh, there was lots of good memes going about Twitter and everything. It was good time.
There was a pro wrestler, Joe Hendry. he was putting stuff up on Twitter saying that Peppa Pig's going to be the stand-in for the Conor Khabib fight. And he was at a service station. We had one of those, like, those wee car rides that the kids jump on. It was a Peppa Pig one. So Peppa, what are your thoughts on the Khabib Conor McGregor fight? Are you ready to step into the fight? Holds the mic. Thanks for that. He's not going to say anything, but it's just like stuff like that. He's sending it to like proper journalists for it.
Oh man, it was good. Enjoyed it. Enjoyed it a lot. But yeah,
guaranteed the main event tonight.
Suppose on that note, it's probably time we took a wee trip to our nonagon. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fantasy Fight Club. Come on in and take a seat in front of our specially constructed imaginary nonagon for another great fight card this evening. Quick rundown of the rules. Each of us pits two fighters against one another. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then discuss the faults and merits of each fighter and how we think the fight would go. We then all decide on a winner. Let's get ready to ramble. But this week, on theme,
yeah,
we're going to go with famous Irish people versus famous Russian people.
It's going to get messy.
Hashtag UFC.
This is definitely the one we put on like every MMA page.
I did a mildly amusing tweet earlier, and it got about 18 retweets in like 10 seconds. Or, sorry, 18 likes in 10 seconds. It wasn't even that funny. I was like, just because I hashtagged it.
Yeah,
I was
like, UFC, yeah.
Fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
So I need to get this up and out first thing tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's perfect time.
Yeah, so I'll sit and edit this tonight then.
If someone searches UFC 229 and Fife,
we're
in the fucking money, son. Forget that proper 12 whiskey. Yeah.
No, that's it. Yeah,
we'll be doing the billionaire's strut thing that Connor and Vince do. Kutch will be waking up, waving his arms about. I'm waving my arms, listeners, you can't see.
Because how many retweets do you need to get for it to be a pound?
What?
That's how it works, isn't it? It translates into currency, yeah?
Just like, what? Just comes out your CD drive, laptop, or just drops out your phone.
Wait a minute, I don't have a CD drive. Shit!
Money for you, mate.
I have one.
Is this how Bitcoin's made?
Yeah.
No, don't say Bitcoin in front of me. There's too much pain and sorrow.
So yeah, we're going to talk about some famous Irish folk fighting some famous Russian folk. We like talking Russians. Yeah. We've done this a few times, I think.
We have.
Now, I think this is extremely interesting because we all said we had a fight within 30 seconds of this idea being pitched.
Yep.
So I'm curious if we all have the same fight.
Well, I'm hoping we don't.
Me too.
So
I've got a couple of backups if we do.
Right. Okay. Who wants to go first then? James?
No, I'm quite. I don't want to go first. I don't want to set. I'm not going to set bar high. It's not going to be too low, but you know, I'm proud of myself.
All right, I'll go then. I'll go. That's fine.
I'm just wanting to see if I'm right in thinking that you both have the same one.
No. So, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to bring a fighter back to the ring. A fighter who's been in the ring once before. He can't remember if he won or lost, to be quite honest. However, the fighter I'm going to bring is Marco Rumius from The Hunt from Red October. Sean Connery's classic Russian commander.
Yes.
Like I say, he's already been in the ring. He fought Bond last time.
I think Bond won that.
He fought Sean Connery's Bond. And this time, he's going to go up against somebody who is Irish to a degree.
Like Americans are Irish.
Yeah, like Boston Irish.
So not.
He's going to go up against Jim Malone from The Untouchables. Oh. That's right, Sean Connery's Irish police captain.
Oh, again.
Jim Malone.
It's happening again. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Was that the fight you fought?
No.
All right, good.
No,
right. Yep. So it wasn't one ever.
Sean Connery versus Sean Connery fight.
What's amazing about both those roles is his accent is exactly the same.
Just like the last time.
So if you can't see, this is a difficult fight for you to pin down.
Oh, I mean, he's Irish American heritage, and I'm not reading this off any kind of wiki, but he had a brother who was a guard at an Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia. He was the Philadelphia Police Commissioner, and he brought Al Capone in on tax evasion charges by apprehending him at the theater one evening. Was his character, but he's actually not a real. He's not real. He's fictional, but he's based on a real person. Yeah.
My first question would be, can his brother guard him from a nuclear submarine? That's a pretty key fact. And hang on, we better set the ground rules. Is there going to be submarines involved?
No, I think it's just...
You'd have to power that up, like in Streets of Rage. It's like your special ability that you power up. You get three bars and then you can call in an airstrike.
You can call in your submarine.
Yeah,
pick up the occasional chicken on the way.
Missile strike. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
As you fight, like, I don't know, some kind of grunt with the same name 10 times.
Oh, see, we're bringing a new Streets of Rage.
Yeah. Yes.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, how good does that look?
Anyway, back to the fight.
Back to the fight. So, yeah, we've got Sean Connery from roughly about the same period of time in his different guises. Who do we think? I mean, does nationality come into it?
Yeah, because thinking you're hard and actually because you're hard. Because you think you're Irish are both incorrect. As opposed to being Russian, which means you probably are hard.
I mean, he did bring in Al Capone. I mean, yeah, it was on
tax evasion
charges, but
is how we're gonna get Trump.
It's true, yeah. So he's obviously got something going on for him. A whole police force, probably, but and Kevin Costner running about somewhere. I don't know. I think
that's quite a handicap to have, Kevin Costner.
In general,
changes the game.
Oh, it was a bad plan for Superman.
Yeah.
But yeah, I reckon, yeah, probably Marco Rubius. Again, just for being Russian and hard.
Yeah, I'm going with him.
Yeah.
Marco Rubius.
Yeah.
Fair dues. Unanimous.
Yeah.
He needed the win after the Bond thing.
I can't remember if he won or Bond won.
Yeah,
lost.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think possibly Bond just won because he always would. Okay, so who's next?
Will you go or shall I?
You go, James.
Okay, well, you know me. When we go to the Nonagon, I like a bit of carnage. I like a bit of madness. So we're going for a tag team match, player. So, fighting for Russia, I've got Pussy Riot. Mm-hmm. That very left-wing punk rock band that like to go up against the government. I'm going to put them up against your granny's favourite band, Westlife, who just reformed this week, lads.
Why would you think we'd all choose the same thing, James?
Yeah, no, I thought
we're not fucking metal. I thought
was No, I thought you two were going to pick the same thing.
See.
One was sound. I was like, this is going to be coming out of left field, lads.
Westlife reformed.
Yeah.
Wow, that news completely passed me by somehow.
I don't know how they reformed. They all walked up to a set of chairs and looked at the camera.
God, Westlife are completely irredeemable arseholes. Yeah. Right? At least Take That had a couple of catchy tunes. You know, weren't great, but had a couple of... What do Westlife have? Nothing. They got fucking nothing.
Do you know what Westlife are? A poor man's bloody Boyzone.
That is true.
I'm not going to lie. I was kind of switching between Westlife and Boyzone. It was a coin toss. But then
Wow. Ronan, where'd you come from?
It's, no.
Hold on.
I'm happy to be here. It's hard to talk. I can't do an Irish accent through my jaw.
Wow.
Sean Connery, what are you doing in the room?
Holy shit. Oh my God.
Wow, Ronan, it's true what they say. You say it best when you say nothing at all, man.
My accents are a roller coaster. You just got to ride it.
Ba-doom-tsh. Oh my God.
No matter what, we'll just pack on with that.
As for the fight.
Versus Westlife. All of Westlife.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna original lineup or like...
Are we chucking Brian McFadden in as well?
That's it. Is it five of them or four of them?
I think you got to give them the five. Oh no, actually go with the four because they willingly kicked out Brian McFadden. This is one of the reasons why I didn't want to pick Boyzone because they lost the one because he died.
I was going to say, I was like, when you said full lineup, I was like, Kutch, are you going to disqualify a guy because he's dead?
No,
like,
Boyzone.
Obviously Boyzone.
Yeah.
See, I don't know the fucking difference.
Yeah. I was going to go with Boyzone. I was like, they're a man short because he died. At least with Brian McFadden, they could phone him. And say, here, man, we really need you. Can you just come in and fight for us for 20 minutes? Like, there you go. Yeah.
No one needs Brian McFadden.
No, nobody.
No, not even Kerry Katona wanted.
God, could you imagine if it was Atomic Kitten versus Pussy Riot?
Actually, no, that's more competitive. That's more competitive because I'm going to be honest here. Pussy Riot would fucking destroy Westlife. They would. Pussy Riot get arrested all the time for like doing crazy shit, and they get roughed up by the police. What has Westlife ever done that approaches that?
I don't know if it's so much what have Westlife ever done, but God forbid you get on the bad side of Westlife fans. They have a wrath upon something else.
Pretty sure Pussy Riot fans are
in jail. Yes.
Well,
Madonna is Pussy Riot fan.
Yeah. Is she?
She is, yeah.
Okay, they're playing the victims here.
So there you go.
But they've got, but Westlife have got Louis Walsh. How about that?
Jesus Christ. You're not helping.
Fucking not.
I just think it also...
Louis Walsh is the Louis Walsh of fighting.
that is so very true.
Louis Walsh is the Louis Walsh of everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's my fucking point.
Never a truer statement said.
Oh, God.
But yeah, if it was against the Atomic Kitten, I mean, they are all scouts, aren't they? So, yeah, that could be a scrap.
Although Pussy Riot, by sheer numbers, are a bit... Because how many is actually in the band? It's like four.
Indeterminate.
Because like every song is like, oh, I thought there was only four of them. And then the World Cup, there was a guy that ran on. And he was just like, oh, he's part of the band Pussy Riot. It's like, eh? I thought it was all women.
The problem is with Pussy Riot, theoretically, anyone could be in Pussy Riot. Whereas no one wants to be in Westlife. So Westlife is just Westlife. They're stuck with that. They're tired of that brush for the rest of their life.
And that's you know, why they can only do
well,
comebacks.
I don't know about you, Jamie, but once I had a dream...
Oh,
I
no.
could have been one of them. I could have been one of them.
I'm Were getting flying without wings.
Right, Pussy I'm Riot. Calling this.
We've
calling
this
Pussy Riot.
Again.
Yeah,
Pussy,
yeah
Riot. Pussy Riot.
Okay. Well,
I told you I liked Carnage, and it happened.
Well, for my fight,
uh-huh.
I'll tell you what my backup one was first. It might actually be better than my other one, but my backup one was two politicians who are both terrifying and unintentionally hilarious, and that was going to be Jerry Adams versus Vladimir Putin. Right.
That'd be Big Vlad coming back into the ring. He's
Big
been
Vlad,
in before.
Yeah, he's got a winning record.
But I have went for something. I thought, no, I'm going to do something because, you know, you can make a lot of cheap jokes about Ireland and a lot of cheap jokes about Russia and, you know, obvious things. So I thought, I'm going to avoid all that and I'm going to go for a leprechaun versus Russian dolls. So, right, you've got the leprechaun, tricksy little fuck, right? Now the leprechaun's got good footwork. I think he can walk on rainbows, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
He can get to the end of them, so he must be able to follow it to the end.
Uh-huh.
He can also break physics.
Yeah, I see your thinking here.
Yeah, and then you've got a Russian doll, but of course the problem is, so I think initially... First Russian doll, right?
Yeah.
Leprechaun just breaks the shit out of it with his pot of gold.
Uh-huh.
Right? But then, he maybe smashes his pot of gold in the first one, but then there's still about 10 fucking
Russian dolls
left.
Yeah.
Ready to fight you.
Gradually and getting smaller and smaller so they can get into like more intricate places as
well.
Well,
that exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like never ending. So I think that possibly Russian dolls will win the cardio battle. and then, or they could
They'll
split
never
up,
gas.
Or they could split up and surround him. You know what I mean? So it's a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in that way the Russian dolls will win the grappling exchanges and the leprechaun will be better on his feet, much like the UFC fight.
I think leprechaun is also an utter rage, depending on what version of leprechaun
exactly.
you want to go with. So you know,
actually,
he's
going
to
leprechaun from
down.
The horror movie, the leprechaun.
Oh, and he's a
leprechaun. Exact
proper rage. Yeah, he's not backing down for nobody.
No,
he'll keep coming. He'll take those shots, but he'll get back up again. He'll keep coming.
He will keep coming.
He's gonna be like the BJ Penn of this competition. He's gonna get battered, and it's gonna be painful after a while for us, not him.
Thinking you like nobody would steal his lucky charms. An army of fucking Russian dolls would be terrifying.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think they would steal his fucking charms and nothing. They are the charms.
Yeah.
They're testing wrath on that one. There's a reason why no one steals his
lucky
charms.
I've gone to a dark place. Okay, hello.
Yeah, I think,
I'm just going to say there's a reason why no one stole his lucky charms. And I think, you know, someone's felt the wrath of that. And it's a wrath that no man should ever face, nor doll should face. Maybe the wrath itself is far in abundance greater than the number of dolls that could come out of that Russian doll.
Mm.
Mm. The red mist could cover him, consume
How
him.
Big is the Russian doll?
Well, so...
Is it the same
I
size
decided,
as the leprechaun?
Exactly. I decided so that we'd both be in the same weight category.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the same size as a leprechaun.
Okay, so how big is the leprechaun?
the leprechaun, I can't remember how big the leprechaun was in the film Leprechaun, but let's say the leprechaun is 3.5 feet tall.
That's a big fucking Russian doll.
That's a lot of weight. Yeah. That's a lot of inside. Yeah.
It'd be like ants carrying you off.
Exactly. And then they could split their own bodies apart and like put essentially half her body over your mouth and nose and stuff and just fuck you and blind you.
And the big one could like essentially put you inside.
And then it becomes a Russian doll of a fucking leprechaun.
Oh God.
Trapped forever inside a Russian doll.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This is like a callback to my Toy Story stuff.
No.
But that's not true, of course, because every Russian doll is actually a naughty child.
That's true.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So
yeah, I might have nightmares tonight. Yeah. This is actually
that's got very deeply sinister.
See, I've got the whole thing about like porcelain dolls and not liking them because I have like nightmares about them stabbing me.
They're fucking weird. Yeah, though.
My sister used to collect them. I think I've talked about this before, but my sister used to collect them, and I had to turn their heads away.
Oh yeah, that's like they're fucking strange.
Shared a room, and I couldn't. They actually gave me the fucking chill. Fear. Like, ugh. And the idea of a 3-foot Russian doll with its dark dead eyes opening up and spilling out thousands. That's not working for me.
Yeah. So no. I'm going to call it, and I'm going to go for Russian doll.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Russian doll. A leprechaun I can probably deal with. Like, you can knock that out. A Russian doll, I think that's just going to kill you.
Yeah.
Carry you off to hell.
That's the thing. You feel like for Russian doll is in a way more magical than a leprechaun. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? It's got some sort of deeper connection that's going to fuck. It's going to get Russian fairy tales are fucking weird.
Well, that's the thing. I think the folklore behind sort of like Russian dolls and again, Russian sort of stories and that are...
There's once a girl called... Chilling,
where, like, ultimately, the leprechaun's actually quite a kind of almost jolly ollie kind of character.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you're talking about the horror film, but, I mean, in general...
I think we should write a horror film based on Russian dolls.
Neighbors, the Carl Kennedy story. It's no longer a zombie apocalypse. It's Russian dolls. Carl Kennedy... versus Russian dolls.
Oh god.
I will just say my other one was gonna be Novichok versus Pucci.
Holy shit.
Because they're both essentially poison.
Yeah.
But I decided not. Well, that was my third backup.
You know what? We have had some dark fights.
Yeah.
You know, Gordon the Gopher and Ed the Duck is probably the highlight of those dark fights. But that leprechaun and Russian doll fight, man.
That's chilling more than dark. It's just
I can feel
a Russian
blood
doll
leaving
like just tilting around just the corner. Just
that's terrifying.
And then you look and it stops.
Yeah, and then it stops, and then you turn around, and then
and you can hear a slight rattling of the inside ones rattling up and down.
And it'll be you know what it's gonna be like. It's gonna be like the birds. They'll just start appearing in different random places.
Yeah, but that's it. And all you hear is like them opening and shutting.
And you don't see them
as they're assembling themselves out. And then you see one in the corner. You're like, I don't remember playing Russian doll. I didn't play that. What the fuck?
I never had a Russian doll.
I didn't know we had a Russian doll. When did we have a Russian doll?
Not cool. Yeah, sorry, Fife fans. You're probably not going to sleep tonight.
I realised I was saying Fife Clubbers earlier in the podcast. Don't know why. That's fucking wank. You should have been saying Fife fans the whole fucking time.
Are you working for Butlins now or something?
No.
Well,
as a friend of the podcast, it was Cheryl, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shared bloody Penguin. Was it Penguin Books?
I don't know if it is Penguin, but it's got the look of a Penguin book. It's
with Fife Club on it.
Yeah. Seen them for a while. Like, not long after we started the podcast, Ian Rankin put up a photo where he got a birthday card. Which was Fife Club. It was the same sort of design.
Bloody!
And I was just like, "Fucking stole our name within."
Jesus.
We'd only been up and running 3 weeks.
We had no copyright.
We are what the cool kids call influencers.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. We have to be careful about what we say, how much you should eat and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stevens, if you want to give us some more vouchers, we will happily talk about you and influence the people that we listen to.
I know that's it. We've got to be careful how we influence people. Drink beer, have whiskey, eat Stevens.
Yeah, actually, we're bad influencers. Yeah,
we are a bad influence.
Yeah, with Violet Berlin.
Oh my lord.
Bad influence with Violet Berlin.
Oh my god.
And Andy Crane.
The forgotten Crane brother.
Right. I suppose we probably should bring things to a close.
Yeah.
We're running kind of long. Yeah. Oh. But and we also need to fire you up the fucking town, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Cool. So let's bring it to a close. Jamie, do you want to run through the fucking socials very quickly?
Yes, please talk to us. We're needy on facebook.com/fivecobpod or at fivecob, Twitter at fivecob, email ken at fivecob.co.uk, Instagram fivecob, or on our website where you can buy merch as well, which would be lovely, at www.fivecob.co.uk.
Do it. Yes. I had something else to say. Can't remember. Doesn't matter. James, what's the motto tonight?
Well, out of nowhere. If you want your business to be award winning, follow the winners. Follow the data. Do what Stevens did. Find yourself the Five Club seal of approval.
Oh, damn, yeah. That'll do. Good night.
Night.
Good night. Did I ever tell you the story of my ex-girlfriend's dad being having a phobia of Kiki D? No, nope. Shit.
Of Kiki D.
Yeah, I was taken aback by it as well. I was like, of all the things you can have a phobia
of. What?
Yeah, he had a phobia of Kiki D.
I don't know what Kiki D is.
Kiki D is the you know singer. Don't Go Breaking My Heart. Elton John and Kiki D.
No, I've never heard that name on Puff.
No?
I know Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Yeah, that's
never
that's
heard Kiki
She's
D.
She's like a famous singer.
You know me with music. I'm usually got pretty good fucking knowledge.
You're like the fucking team you're down, Jamie.
You've
just
failed.
Something been changed in the Matrix. I've forgotten something. What the fuck?
Instead
I feel
of
like I'm getting trolled. Kiki D. It sounds made up as fuck.
Name. No. Just go Kiki D.
Yeah, Kiki D.
Okay, fine.
YouTube.
I believe you.
I don't believe you. Don't
so
know
clearly
Kiki
made
is.
Up. So clearly made up.
Look.
I do actually believe you.
This is tremendous.
I do believe you. I just can't believe that I've never heard of someone called Kiki D.
Are you recording any of this, cut?
It's all been recorded.
Such a stupid name.
It is.
What's our husband called? DD Key.
DD Key.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yo, dog, I'm DD Key. Look.
Elton John,
Kiki
D.
Okay, I know her face, obviously.
She doesn't look like she wants to be there.
Yeah, you could, you bitch.
Okay.
So you learn something new every day.
Kutch has quickly uploaded a YouTube video and named it Kiki D in it. join me, Five Clubbers, in my well... Some would call it a conspiracy. I'd say we're truth seekers. But Kiki D is a recent invention. It's like all those people that remember Mandela dying, you know, Mandela effect before he died. It's like that, but we don't know who the fuck Kiki D is. We think you're talking shite.
Ah, well, we've got the podcast extra for this week.
So if you've got a phobia of Kiki D as well, please let us know so I can... blatantly laugh at you.
I don't have a phobia of Kiki D, but she's clearly running one world government. Yeah. The thing is about Stevens, it is quite...
uh-huh.
Think
about Stevens is.
No, I can't quite make it work. Edit this out.
Were you going for a walk?
Something about two bridies with one stone, but I couldn't quite make it work. I couldn't quite make it work, so we're gonna edit
just
that.
Just forget it.
Bridies with one stone.
I couldn't quite make it work though. It's a good line, but I can't get the context right for it. It's fucking
two
annoying.
Bridies with one stone. Fair enough.
Aye. So what else were we going to talk about?
Venom about bean shit and superhero films.
Oh, yeah.
Do a proper intro bit for that, though.
Yeah, don't put that bit in.